Good morning. I guess I'm mic'd up okay, Craig? Am I okay? All right. Got the hot mic. Well, earlier this week, I was talking with Craig, and Merrill asked me to do the message this morning, and I said, okay, I will do it, but I need a podium, because it's hard to stand up with a cane for 3 hours. So, but I'll still try to get you out of here in time to beat the Baptist to the restaurants. Okay, my name is Wes Young. I'm not the pastor, but I'm speaking on behalf of Merrill. Merrill texted me about 6 o'clock this morning and just wished me well on today's service. So, and I texted her back, and I think I said thank you. It was so early in the morning. But today we will be speaking about God's creation. So let's get started here. And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 cypress down in the cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun, and he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball, and he flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and the stars. And down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world, and God said, that's good. Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were cluttered about his head, and the earth was under his feet. And God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. But then he stopped, and he looked, and he saw that earth was hot and barren. So God walked over to the edge of the world. He spat out the seven seas. And he batted his eyes, the lightning flashed, clapped his hands, and the thunder rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted. The little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky. And the oak opened his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again. And the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulders. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, bring forth, and quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls, beasts and birds swam the rivers and seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. And he looked at his little stars. He walked around. And God also looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun. He looked at his moon. He looked on his world with all his living things, and God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought, till he thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there, the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corners of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mommy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is a poem called The Creation, and it's reprinted from the book of American Negro Poetry by James Weldon Johnson. I had to learn this poem when I was in high school, so it's been many, many, many years ago. Now, Genesis is one of the most talked about passages in all scripture, and it is important for us to look and understand because it puts things in perspective and gives us perspective on political debates and educational objectives. But also, I think it teaches us something about how to live our personal lives. This morning, I would like to look at three of those perspectives: the origin, the purpose, and the value of these perspectives. Now let's take the origin first. The first thing to notice about this passage is that it talks about origins, the beginning, the start of this world. Origins are important. Genesis 1 tells us about the origins of the world. It tells us about our own origins. Our beginnings are rooted in God. He is an incredible, powerful being that created the world. We cannot properly understand ourselves or the world. We can't properly understand it all without understanding our origins. Now, science may be able to give us great, complex answers to all kinds of questions, but science cannot answer the who question. Who is behind this world? Who created it all? Our origins, the beginnings of plant and animal life, the beginnings of life and darkness, physics and chemistry, gravity and photosynthesis, the origin of all that is, physical matter and the laws that govern, the physical realm, the biology of man, and the heart of humanity, the complexities of DNA and the mysteries of love. The origins of all that is found in the will of God. He is the originator. He is the creator. In the beginning, God. Before all this got jump-started, came into being, thrown into motion, before all this that we call our world, there was God. And the Spirit of God dangled over like a mother hen dangles over her about to hatch eggs, or like the concert composer dangling over blank sheets of paper just before he marks the first note of a masterpiece. The Spirit of God dangles over the nameless, the shapeless, chaotic voice of nothingness just before he said, "Let there be light." Our beginnings are rooted in God. in his will, in his decision to create, in his power to make, in his love that motivated him to act. Our origins are rooted in God. Now let's look at the purpose. Because the creation began with God and not with dumb luck or pure chance and not with the cosmic roll of the dice, but because the creation began with God, the creation has given purpose. Knowing someone or something's origins is about more than knowing where it started. It's about more than knowing how the pieces fit together. But origins also tell us about purpose and intentions. Now, we cannot know or find the purpose for this world, and we can't know our own personal purpose in life apart from God's will. That's because he is our creator. He is where it all began. He is the one who decided and acted and spoke this world into existence. Now, what that means is we are not here on this earth because of blind luck. We are not here because of chance. We are not here on accident. The world exists, and we are part of it because God chose to create. And in creating, he gave it all purpose and design. In order for us to find our place and purpose in this world, whether we are in grade school or living in the land of retirement, as most of us are, in order for us to find our purpose and place, we must look to God. When he created us, he did so with stuff in mind and with plans for our path and with love for our souls. He is our creator. Now, Genesis tells us that God created all that is out of formlessness and emptiness. So many of us experience life as void of meaning. Our lives are wayward, aimless. We are lost. We meander through the cosmic confusion and frustration and desperations. We find it in our hearts, the hollow, empty feelings. Our lives are an incarnation of chaos, moving from one crisis to another. We can't seem to get our feet under us. It's as though our lives are like a ball in a cosmic pinball machine, shelved and bounced and kicked to and fro. We want to get focused and move toward bigger life goals, but the direction of our lives is always derailed by crises and tragedies. Have you ever been there? Especially where life is perpetual motion, but perpetually going nowhere. Do you know that many people live their lives caught in the cycle of going nowhere, spinning their wheels, wondering what's the use, believing there's nothing better for them, caught up in a swirl of confusion and frustration and desperation. But when we understand our origins, that we have breath and life because God Almighty chose to create us, when we understand our origins, we also begin to understand that there must be purpose in our life. Now, the old saying goes, God don't do nothing without purpose. He's got his reasons. And there's reason for us. And God has reason why he has brought us together, even as a church family. Genesis chapter 1 doesn't just tell us about the beginning of the universe it also tells us about our lives, that we are created on purpose. Our lives have meaning when we see that we are supposed to be fundamentally, foundationally rooted in Him. Now let's look at value. An interesting thing happens in Genesis 1, verse 4. God speaks and the light shines. Incidentally, did you notice that He doesn't create the sun and the moon until later? It's as though the light emanates from God Himself, from some created thing. It gives even more oomph to Jesus' claim that He is the light. But anyway, God speaks and the light shines. And verse 4 says, God saw that the light was good. This begins a pattern that we see throughout the process of the creation. God creates, God evaluates, and God declares that it is good. Besides the fact that God is the creator and that we find our beginnings in Him, and besides the fact that God created with purpose, given our lives meaning, it is very important to recognize that God evaluates His creation and that He calls it good. What God creates has value. It has moral weight. It's not neutral, and it certainly isn't evil. Genesis tells us that each state in the process of creating His world, God stopped long enough to evaluate His work and also to declare it good. This may be a crude way of saying it, but to me, God does not make junk. This world, believe it or not, isn't trash. We aren't garbage. We aren't waste material. This church and its people and the relationships we find here are not a waste of time. Why? Because God is behind it all. And what God does well. What God creates, God calls good. Now, I understand that there's sin in the world, and sin has cast a long, dark shadow over God's good creation. However, we should not let that sad reality steal the joy of knowing that our purpose and our pleasure are found in God. He creates out of love, and He creates with purpose, and He creates by His own choice. But God isn't done creating. He creates new life in those whose hearts turn to Him in repentance. He creates new life in relationships that seek reconciliation through His healing. He creates new lives in churches. Amen? Amen. Creates new life in churches that are joined together in a brotherhood and sisterhood of faith. God is still in the business of creating, and because God does not make junk, we can all rejoice in the good that He creates within us and between us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.